Hi everyone, welcome to Finding Burundi. I'm Alan Ndayishimiye. I want to start by thanking everybody for listening to the first part of my conversation with the brilliant Judikayo Irakoze, and a big thank you to Judikayo herself for taking the time and speaking with me. On today's show, we start with Judikayo talking about what gender equity looks like in practice, especially in East Africa, where women have made significant gains, in politics at least, yet issues concerning women still lag behind. And so I hope you enjoy the show. And as usual, I have three asks. Please share the show with your family and friends. Let me know what you think of the show, and let me know who you'd like to come on the show. Thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy your day.
I have come to realize that economic empowerment is never gender equity. So East Africa has a majority of women, and these are women who have access to economic power. Even in rural areas, these are women who are working in the land, in the city. These are women who are doing everyday work in offices. But these are women who are never empowered enough to challenge the status quo. And I mean, they are still doing all the needed work, but are still being abused by their bosses or their partners just because they happen to be men. So I realize gender equity is a conversation that we should initiate in East Africa, but we should start with the conversation that women are being, African women, East African women, are being exploited by men just because they happen to be men. Otherwise, African right. women have been doing all the needed work to sustain society.
Right. Now, this brings me back to the work that you've been doing. So obviously, by following you, I see, you know, the things that you're planning and where you're going and all that kind of stuff. And one of the things that I know that politically, one of the things that I've seen is that, so you mentioned about classed women and then like women in the rural areas. And I've seen the kind of conversations that you've been organizing and the spaces that you've created. And it appears to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that those are geared towards a certain kind of African woman, right? Educated, has means to know and get and access the kind of places where you have your girl talk events. I'm wondering, what is the plan, if there is one, for the kind of woman or person who doesn't have access to those kind of places where you guys have your girl talk events?
That's a good question. And that's something we have been discussing about. But the reason why we have started with classed women is because we realize that these are women who have power, and we should challenge them into using their privilege into making this conversation more accessible to any woman. So we started with them. We have plans of in going to less privileged women, and that is going to be a lot of work because these women don't only need conversations, they need a language that they can understand. And if us who are classed happen to go to them with the language that appear as if we are coming to save them, we will be like white saviors. And that's not how we want to appear. We want to first have time to learn about their experiences, relate to them, and go with the language they can understand. Because I happen to be a classed woman. Women that I work with happen to be classed. And we don't want to be white saviors. We don't want to appear like we are coming to save. We just want to go there with we are offering you a space. How can you use this space? How can we help you use this space for your own freedom? Not how are we gonna free you, because we don't know how we can free you. We have never walked into your shoes. So that's where we stand, and that is something we still need time to figure out where we start and how we start, but I think we will get there.
So I want to challenge you for a quick second here, because I haven't involved in something as similar as what you're doing, but from my experience with African politics and all of that, I know for a fact that it's very difficult to change
from a position of power. And so when I see the events that you're having and the kind of places that you're having them and the kind of people that you are targeting, it appears though as though you are, and you said it, that you're appearing to people with power. I'm wondering if you philosophically believe that those people who are have power and are benefiting from the status quo would be able to bring about the change that you want to see. Because I personally believe that it's very difficult to start change from up going down. I think change comes from down upwards. And so I'm wondering whether you believe that what you're doing and the way that you're doing it can really bring about change when you're targeting people who are comfortable and who are benefiting from the status quo.
That's a good question. I want to take you back to what we call change. And yeah, when it comes to this work that I'm doing of dismantling patriarchy, it's not a change. I'm not expecting a change tomorrow or even 5 years from now. I'm just expecting, step by step to pave ways. So I'm pretty much sure 100 years from now, we might not have destroyed all the institutions that abuse women, but we might have been able to, to change some policies, things like that. So I understand your question, but I want to take you to a place where I have been in a place where I'm a classed woman, and I thought that I was empowered, all those kind of things that you are told because you went to school, you were educated, you were empowered, all kinds of things, all those kind of things. Then you access some spaces and where you are told to stand up so a man can sit. You access some spaces where you are definitely objectified regardless of what you bring at the table because you are a woman. So what we do with girl talk conversations at this point is to bring that awareness. Just have women who are classed sit down and understand that it doesn't matter if patriarchy is feeding you, they are taking twice as what they are giving you. So to know that is to realize that you should never ever enjoy that you are going to school or enjoy that you are classed and you can protect yourself from any other patriarchal oppression just because another woman isn't. So those conversations have been hard, by the way. They have been very hard to have with because we all love privileges, we do. So they have been hard, but with how we have been having them constantly and constant feedback, we have been realized that we can create that change of mind. And trust me, we do want to go back to go to women who are less privileged. We do. We want to create space for domestic workers. We want to create this space for women in rural areas. But again, our fears right now, Alan, I have told you, is that we are classed women. We have never walked in those women's shoes. So right now we are figuring ways, good ways of approaching them, not as people who are coming to save them, but as people who are just going to say, we have these privileges. How can we use these privileges for you? You understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah. And
I completely understand. Yeah. Now, one of the last few questions I have is, what other movements have inspired the work that you're doing with the Choose Yourself? Historically, what other movements do you look up to, or are you trying to emulate?
To be honest, the work that I do with Choose Yourself, I'm still figuring out. So it's still so early for me to say I am looking or trying to follow the path of this movement. But Angela Davis, as I said, she's the woman who is inspiring me, and I read and read, listen her work, what she does, and she is the woman behind my politics and what I believe in and what I'm doing now. So I guess 5 years from now, I would know exactly which path I would have taken, or people who whose movement I had really followed. But up to now, I'm figuring out.
That's awesome. Okay, so now I want to move to a more fun and light segment of the podcast that I like to call Three Things. So I'm just going to ask a few, actually three questions about three things. What three books would you recommend for someone who is interested in learning about feminism?
Yes, I have books I can recommend to everyone. Even though you don't want to learn about feminism, I think you should read these books. And give me a moment. I'm trying to go to my Google Drive so I can say the name of the books really well.
Right.
So the first book is by Audre Lorde, and it's called... I love Audre Lorde, by the way, and I think everyone who's passionate about gender justice, everyone who's passionate about any kind of change, because at the end of the day, feminism is any kind of change. It's just justice and freedom for all. So it's called, right. She has different books, but one that I can recommend, it's called Sister Outside. Okay. And she highlights a lot of things that has to do with civil rights movement back in the 60s. Then there is Angela Davis. She has written a lot, but I would recommend Beyond the Frame.
Beyond the Frame by Angela Davis?
Yeah, or Are Prisons Obsolete? And the last book, and that's going to be the last book that I can... You asked me three, but I'm giving you four.
Okay, no, that's fine. You can give me four or five.
Okay, the other one is by actually it's by Alexander. It's called Michelle Alexander. It's called The New Jim Crow.
That's a new book.
Yeah, it is. And that new book age.
That
book has changed a lot. Not only because it's speak about American politics, but at the end of the day, a Black American politics relates to African politics. So if you read the book, you understand a lot of things. So everyone should read the book.
Awesome. That's excellent. Okay, now the next question is, you are very open on Twitter. What three things would your followers be surprised to learn about you?
Wow. What are three things that I'm lazy?
Well, you appear like a hard worker, though.
Yeah, I know. And so I tell people I'm lazy and they don't believe it. I am lazy. And by lazy, I mean I love to sleep. That I'm not fearless. I'm just full of fear. Yeah.
Interesting.
It is interesting. And that's something one of my closest friends used to tell me. She's like, I wish people knew how you are so full of fear. I'm that kind of person, you can throw something and I run.
Wow. I mean, is it fear of things, or I mean you are pretty accomplished for your age. And so I'm wondering how then do you overcome fear in everyday life? Because the things that you do aren't easy.
Okay, what do you mean by accomplished?
I mean, you started an NGO, an organization that is international. You have a business. You are in school. You, for your age, I think, you've done a lot of things that people want to do have not done even in their 40s. And so I'm wondering, how do you then get the courage to do all of those things if you are naturally afraid?
That's a good, I don't know. I guess I have the right people. I don't know, but but I guess the kind of fear that I'm talking about is I'm not someone who will walk into a trap just like that. So I have my own fears that I have to calculate, and I know I how can I say, figure out my way out. Okay, what else? What else? My Twitter followers will be.
Will they be surprised to know that you were once a gospel singer?
Oh no, they won't be surprised to know that everyone knows that I'm a singer. Plus,
right.
I want to go back to singing. So, if I find time, but I want to go back to singing. The other thing is, I am very disorganized. And I think every entrepreneur that I know is, because you have a lot on your table. So, you can just say, that's one thing. I've tried to put myself on a schedule, but doesn't work like that. Because I always have something popping up that I have to take care of. So I am very disappointed. Yeah.
That's interesting. All right. So the last question is, you are president of Burundi in a year far away. I know you've talked about not wanting to go into politics. So hypothetically.
Oh, that's why we didn't talk about Burundi? That's why we didn't talk about Burundi politics?
No, oh, I mean, I wanted to... I think we can talk about Burundi, like, you know, in another episode, because I really wanted to get the essence of your feminism out in this episode, because I think the Burundi conversation is a completely different subject. Mm-hmm. But let's say you are president of Burundi one day. What three things are you doing first?
If I happen to be president of Burundi, there is something to do. I'm going to start national reconciliation. And by national reconciliation, it means we open the borders to everyone who's a refugee. Integrate them. All the refugees of Burundi who are in East Africa, they come back home, integrate them, and then we start national reconciliation. Nothing else happens during, like, I give 3 days for people to work and the other 4 days are for national reconciliation. The sooner people can reconcile, the sooner we can go back at working together. We can just ignore it, because I think Burundians have been living with trying to ignore that they are hurt or full of hate or pain. So I would say Monday to Wednesday, people are going to work, but Thursday to Sunday, for like 6 months, it's going to be national reconciliation and everyone will be part of it. So I don't know how I will come up with ways of doing that, but they will know that in Burundi, we are bringing people at the same table to reconciliation involve people taking responsibility and making sure we have measure of taking responsibility of people who deserve to come before justice. That's one.
That's very ambitious.
It is. Because I don't think I will lead Burundi if it is the way it is. So for me to I need to, that had to happen. If nobody did at some point do that, I will have to do it. So second, I will reconstruct the education system in Burundi.
Right.
So I will find, one thing I love about Burundians, they are educated. My generation is educated. So I will bring the most educated Burundians in all fields on the same room for at least a month. They will design classes starting from primary to universities. We redesigned the education system. Everything else is abolished. We start from the beginning. That's second.
Mm-hmm.
Third, I will focus on what Burundi can offer on the international market. So we will focus on what we have as resources. Then we will focus on how can we produce things, our own things that we can sell on international market. And this is, we will make it as not a way of showing off, but a way of making sure that even the most basic can afford made in Burundi. So our target market will not be the international market. Our target market will be Burundians themselves. So I want them to produce things they can actually enjoy. Yeah, those are three things that I'll focus on.
That's awesome.
All right, everybody, that is it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening, for sharing, and for sending me your feedback. If you'd like to follow Judy Kael and her work, you can follow her on Twitter at Judy Kael _. Or if you just search Judy Kael Irakoze on Twitter, you should be able to find her. You can also find the work that she does with Choose Yourself at Choose Yourself 2. That's on Twitter. And their website is chooseyourself.website. Or if you just Google Choose Yourself, you should be able to find it and support the work that they're doing. Thank you very much, and I hope you have a fantastic week. Mani sumba fiosi ne meshe.